You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with me, your host, Jo Britton. Your mojo is your energy, your enthusiasm, and your motivation so that you've got the ability to get results for your personal and professional life without freaking out and burning out. Tune in for practical advice on how to find your mojo and keep it. This episode is all about standing strong, because that's exactly what my fabulous guest, Hannah Clay, is all about, and how her life challenges of disordered eating, a struggle with diet culture, panic attacks, and a lack of self-belief, plus how she's actually navigated all of this with strength and courage, has inspired her to create her business, Stand Strong, which creates a space for others to do the same, which she does through self-defense, martial arts, and fitness. She's an incredible inspiration, a brilliant client to work with, and one of my amazing Mojo members. Hannah Clay, you are a legend. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jo, for that lovely introduction. As I sat there, my smile was getting bigger and bigger as you were saying all these lovely words about me. So
and you deserve all of that, and to be beaming. You always have such an amazing smile and energy about you. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit on your story? Share a little bit with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, obviously I teach self-defense and fitness, and I own my own academy in Bristol, where it's the hub of everything we do. I've had, I'd say, a journey, without trying to give my age away, I've had a journey probably of around 20 years of battling, as you were saying, around disordered eating, eating disorders, and mental health, it's kind of been a long journey and a process for me to kind of work through it. And there were points in my life where it was extremely heightened through different events that happened. And then it spiraled for me. And then, what year are we in? I've lost track of the
we're
years
20,
now.
22 already, aren't
yeah,
we? I can't believe it. Yeah,
I know. It's scary. And I think around 5 years ago is when I really started to make a big kind of shift in my life. And that's when not long after Stand Strong was born from that. And, you know, to help others who are perhaps going through similar or feeling similar, to come to a place, yeah, that is free from judgment, expectations, and is around compassion, that drives a lot of what we do. So, yeah, for me, it's been overcoming some of that stuff. And as you know, Jo, as we talk, you know, it never, you know, I'm not saying it's gone completely, it's just learning and understanding it better, and then working through how to deal with it in ways that actually support a better life for myself, my family, and then obviously pass it on to others as well.
So what happened then 5 years ago? Was there a pivotal moment for you where you thought enough's enough and you wanted to make, or you chose to make, change in your life? What happened?
Yeah, so I was actually training to become a Krav Maga instructor, getting qualified, and I was struggling with the course. I was really finding it difficult. I didn't believe I was going to pass. I was, you know, filled with dread every time I turned up to the course, and I was just like, well, I'm not going to pass, and really lacking belief. And the head instructor at the time said to me some words, and it hit me so hard. And he said, if you didn't live inside your head so much, you'd go so much further. And I was like, what? And I don't know why, but that just stuck with me. And I thought, it's me. It's me. I'm holding myself back. And a lot of these, you know, stories, he was like, I can see you're having an inner monologue constantly with yourself. You're in your head. And I don't know what it was, but that for me was a massive catalyst. And at the time, I was so unhappy with my job. You know, I'd done other things to try and escape from it, done different, you know, I'd gone traveling, I'd done degrees to try and escape the pain. And I was like, do you know what? I think I'm done running from this now. And something inside me was like, it's time to turn and face it. And now's the time to do it. And at the time, I knew it was going to be painful, but I believed that the pain I was going to go through couldn't be any worse than what I'd been going through. And that actually, I believed it would bring a much better life for myself. And then, you know, in turn, my daughter and things like that. So yeah, that was for me, something just inside me. I think his words, I think I was holding back the tears as he was giving me my feedback, because I was like, but I knew what he was saying was true. That was the thing. It was the truth. And it was in, and it just, yeah, it hit me. And it was like, okay, now's the time for me to really, to do it, really. What are you waiting for, I guess? So yeah, that was the kind of catalyst for me to start the changes. As I say, it's been a long process. And I believe that we're like little layers of cakes, aren't we? We just find new little layers as we continue on this journey of life. So yeah, that was really.
So you talked about then, you mentioned having this the monologue going on in your head. What were those sorts of maybe thoughts or stories you were telling yourself that were kind of that meant that you were getting in your own way and you actually weren't? You talked about pain as well. This was like painful. So what was that was going on for you at that time?
So I would constantly tell myself that I wasn't capable, I wasn't good enough, that nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. I don't know anything. I shouldn't be in the job I'm doing because I don't actually know, you know, imposter syndrome. That was a huge part of it. I'm ugly. I'm horrendous as a human being. I'm horrible. Why would, you know, so many negative self. Just ways of putting myself down. I can't possibly do this. I'm not as good as that person. They're so much better than me. Why would anyone like me? Why would any, you know? Yeah. And that was constant noise, just chatter, just constantly spiraling around in my head 24/7. You know, I hated who I saw in the mirror. It caused a lot of anger issues within me. I was angry. I was angry at the world. I was angry at others. I was angry at myself. This underlying rage at the everything, because it's just, you know, we know it's we're angry at ourselves because we want change, but we can't necessarily find, like, we can't do it sometimes. So that was there. Anxiety, hated. I couldn't talk to people. Like, if people came to talk to me, I'd shrink and shrivel up inside and be like, okay, and just, you know, couldn't stand straight. I'd be the one in the corner, like, if anyone came over to talk to me, I'd be like, why are they coming over to talk to me? But I don't want to talk to you. I'd run off to like find a way to run away to the toilet and hide at times. And, you know, sometimes I just honestly couldn't get out of bed. I was like, I can't face the world today. I know I'm not going to. So yeah, it was quite dark days sometimes. And then obviously as a result, there were times when it was too much. So I was on medication to help with that, you know, to help ease. To help ease some of it. Like through the doctors, things just like anxiety attacks, panic attacks, and then obviously depression as well. So yeah, it was quite difficult, really. And I say, I used to sit there daydreaming about another life where I'd be happy, but I didn't think it would happen because all I'd known was, like I say, to feel quite trapped in my own head. So it was like, okay, well, that's just what's the word? Oh God. Daydream, really. It's never going to be, you know, it's never going to come to fruition. So,
and I remember you saying, you telling me in another conversation that we've had, that things got really bad at one point and you almost crashed your car. And what, remind me what it was that happened there.
I forgot how to drive because my brain was just so busy with other stuff, just these, you know, constant chatter and no focus on the present moment whatsoever. And I forgot how to drive and I couldn't remember where my brake or accelerator was or anything. And there were people crossing the road and I was like, I don't know how to drive. And my options were, do I hit into them or do I just take the car off the road? So I had to steer the car off the road to avoid the people. And I did, I wrote off my car. I mean, I was so fortunate that I was unharmed. The car was a total write-off, and that for me again was another, okay, this, you know, you are going down a road where something serious could happen because you're just so in here, you're not present, you're not living, and you're just, yeah. And that for me was a real kind of, oh my goodness, like, you know, I crashed my car, it could have been so much more serious. I could have injured somebody else, I could have injured myself. you know, my daughter, all these thoughts that were just like, this can't continue because it's not going to end well. That was really, you know, the path that was heading down. So it was a real kind of, spiraling time. You know, dark, very dark, really. When I look back at it and think, oh, wow, you know, like now I'm like, oh, my God, my life is so different to how that was. And you look back and, you know, I see Hannah then and I'm like, oh, bless you. I just want to hug you and tell you it's going to be okay.
And this is it, isn't it, as well? And have some compassion for ourselves as well in the, you know, I mean, it must have been incredibly difficult for you because you mentioned disordered eating and anxiety and panic. A couple of defining moments, that realization that you're stuck in your own head and thoughts, and then, you know, you forget to drive. So what were the steps that you took then? How's Hannah from then in like over the last 5 years got to where Hannah is now, which is amazing, with your Stand Strong Academy and you're helping other people do this? And also, I guess in a world that is quite a male dominated world and environment, like martial arts, self-defense, and here you are, a woman that's been through a really challenging time, to be leading in that space.
So the steps I took were to, I started journaling, so I started writing a lot of what was going on in my head and these thoughts, and to clear them out, because otherwise they were just going to stay inside me like poison. So I started to journal and to challenge some of those thoughts. And I used to spend a lot of time on my own at that time and just feeling the pain, which sounds, you know, to some people can find it sounds strange. But for me, allowing some of the pain to rise meant that I could feel it and release it. And I was able to accept it and allow it to be rather than trying to fight it. I was at the time, you know, I found friends that I could really trust, friends that would listen. They weren't offering solutions all the time. They were there to allow me to voice what was happening and for them to say, it's okay, I can hear you. You know, let's talk, or you talk. So that was really helpful to have that space. And just challenging the stories and asking, actually, is this the truth, or is this something that you've made up? You know, what facts have you got that back this stuff up? Because a lot of it, like, you know, nobody likes you. Okay, but that's not a fact, is it? Like, obviously some people won't like you because that's life, but not everybody. You've got friends, you've got family, you're loved. So when you start to unpick some of them, you realize actually they are, you know, they are stories. But it, you know, so for me, journaling a lot on writing stuff down really helped me to see it and to start, you know, and then obviously looking at what was in my life at that time, and was it actually really supporting me, or was it actually part of the pain and letting go of things like friendships and stuff like that that actually weren't serving anymore, or were actually, you know, and that sounds really awful, but there were things that no longer supported my life and who I wanted to be. So I had to make difficult decisions to drop them because they could, if they stayed, then I wasn't going to have a way out. And that's another difficult thing, because we feel, obviously, as humans, we think we want to be nice and kind people, but actually sometimes nice and kind means being a people pleaser. So it's okay. These people actually aren't bringing to your life anymore. This is actually negative. It's actually, you know, going towards some of your behavioral patterns, you know, so let's look to shift. And so letting go of things as well that were no longer serving, which is incredibly difficult to do. But that was kind of part of the process, and then coming off the medication as well to allow myself to actually deal with this. I wanted to really feel, you know, through life. And I'm not saying, I know for everyone's story is different, and some people medication is, you know, what's needed, but for me it just wasn't the right thing. So I worked to come off my medication as well, so I could actually experience some of this stuff. I didn't want to block it anymore. For me it was the right thing to do. So that was all part of the process, and learning to accept emotions such as anger and sadness and not try and push them away. Mm. That was such a big, you know, I hated crying in front of people for years because I saw it as weakness and I saw it as, you know, vulnerable, and actually allowing myself to cry was probably one of the biggest steps I took, because all of a sudden years of emotions that I'd hidden from the world, you know, like I just allowed to come up. And a lot of the time I did it on my own at first, and then gradually I learned to have the confidence to, you know, open up to other people and to cry in front of those too. But that for me was such a healing, you know, just allowing the tears and really feeling them as they came, like, you know, and spending time with myself and looking at myself really deeply, instead, like, I'd spend time, sounds vain, staring in the mirror, but really looking and saying, okay, who are we? Who do we want to be? And actually talking to myself. You know, I say a lot about souls. I was talking to my soul. I was talking to my child, you know, the inner child that was scared, and I wanted to talk to them and to just, I'm here, I'm listening. You know, let's do this together. So I spent a lot of time really learning about myself properly, which was massive, really. And it, you know, it took time. It wasn't overnight. I mean, as I say, I'm still on the journey, but I'd say a good year or so of really intense. I'm working on myself, mm-hmm. and it meant that a lot of other people were put to the side. You know, yeah. it was, I'd be classed as selfish in some people's views. But for me, it was just the ultimate act of self-care at this point. Like, it was what I needed to do. And then obviously taking that into Stand Strong Academy. So that level of compassion and understanding towards other people was something that was really important to me. And that was something that was quite different about Stand Strong, because as you mentioned, it is a very kind of male-dominated arena, particularly in the field that I run in CRAV. And to come into it and actually talk about it from a compassion point of view was very, very different. And it was quite nervy and I felt quite uncomfortable, but I knew it had to be the right reason. I didn't want to just do this for the sake of doing, even though I had the skill set to teach CRAV, I didn't want to just teach it for that reason. I wanted to help people, you know, who perhaps had gone through me to, as I say, it was CRAV really, that course that was the pivotal moment for me. And then the skill sets that I was learning around resilience and how to come back off the ground, you know, when you get knocked down, I wanted to create a space where people could come, but know that, yeah, just know that we were there to support them and to help them and to be listening. And I, you know, it was scary. And it, you know, I know that not everyone in my field would agree with how I approached it, because the idea is this big tough self-defense system, like, you know, it's all about, you know, learning to deal with defenses against knives. What's this got to do with, you know, compassion and kindness and self-awareness and love? And it's like everything, you know, everything it's got to do with it, because defending that weapon is like defending yourself against, you know, your own harsh words, you know, your own self-hate, your own, you know, or against somebody who's trying to emotionally manipulate you, all these things that we deal with on a daily basis. So the way that you defeat, you know, you defend the knife, yes, okay, you may be using your arm or doing something different, but the strength and the courage and the determination and the mindset, all of that you can take across into, you know, like I say, helping yourself, you know, when those nasty words are coming at you and they're really trying to hurt you, you can have the strength to say, I'm not going to allow this to happen today. We are going to fight back and we are going to win. And so that's, for me, is about bringing that side of it into what we do and helping people to realize how incredible they are. Like, it doesn't matter what they've been through, that they are still incredible humans, and that they, you know, they deserve to take up as much space in this earth as they want to. Be loud, be you, be authentic, be bright, and let your light shine, even if it's so different to everyone else. Even if everyone else is like shining green and you want to shine your light as pink, shine bright, because, and we are here to support you to do that. And that's what it, yeah, for me, that is what the academy at its heart is about, is, yeah, creating a space where people just, they can be themselves, you know, in this world of yeah, yeah, crazy world that we live in, that they have a space where they know they can come and they can be themselves. And we open our doors, you know. For me, I always open my doors to members if they want to talk about stuff that isn't related to CRAV, you know, to create that space, to know that it's okay. Struggling with CRAV, we can talk. If you're struggling because of other stories, you know, we can talk, and there's not going to be that judgment, and we're not going to think any different of you, you know, and that's what we're really trying to create. So for me, that's a big driver of what we do at Stand Strong.
I absolutely love it. You know, the parallels that you have just described, the transferable stuff, we're human beings at the end of the day with it all. And I know, because, and also going back to probably as well, like, you know, the start of your story, we live in this world of social media and comparison and this whole diet culture and all these things, that experiences that we have, and we've just lived through like the most difficult 2 years in the pandemic, in isolation and fear. All of this stuff really, well, in my words, it really more than affects your mojo. You know, it's much bigger than that. And if we can use and think about things differently in the way that you're bringing your work to others, because I know you've had some incredible success stories, because you have women, you have men, you have kids at classes, don't you? And there was one recently, wasn't there? And it absolutely touched my heart with one of the kids. Tell us about that. They'd gone to dress up at school, weren't they? And
yeah, they were asked to dress up at school, and the theme was superheroes or for someone brave. And their parents said to them, "Well, what are you going to go as?" They had no idea, and they went, "Well, I'm going to wear my Stand Strong top, and I'm going as myself." And I was just like, I get goosebumps every time I say it. And this is someone as well whose parents said to me the other day, when she first, like when they first started school, they were being bullied. Now they're not being bullied. And they went to school as their own superhero. And I was just like, that's just phenomenal.
It's incredible. I mean, it's amazing, that transformation in that young person.
Yes.
To have that courage and strength and confidence in themselves is absolutely amazing. You are doing a fabulous job. So, I mean, it really sounds to me like your approach in this industry is really quite different. And also, notwithstanding the fact that I know you, just before the pandemic, had kind of invested in premises and you know, and then the pandemic hit and you were shut down, really, weren't you, with the restrictions and things. So you must have had, that must have taken an enormous amount of resilience, courage, strength to stand strong and get through that period, when it must have been really quite, you know, for many people in many industries like yours, in beauty, in hospitality, all of those industries that you literally, so hard to work from home or recover your business. What happened there? How did you use, I guess, the tools that you've been developing to help you get through that? Because your business has been growing as well, as you know, through the pandemic, hasn't it? It's not been easy.
No, I mean, that for me was just, at first I was so scared, because obviously I'd built so much up. And then there were days where I was just, oh my, what's going on? But you know, there were days when it got really bad, I was like, okay, remove yourself from this situation for a moment, go outside, get some fresh air, talk about, you know, work through what's the worst case scenario, what's the best case scenario, okay, what can you do to make a difference? There are some things you're just going to have to accept in this that are outside of your control. What can you control, work on that. And so it was, pulling in some of that stuff again, talking to people, being honest about how I was feeling on those particular days, looking for opportunities to continue. But yeah, you know, it was tough. But like so many others, I think we all found a strength in us these last couple of years that perhaps we didn't realize as humans how capable we are of going through, you know, so much. And yet we, you know, we still sometimes we can dig deep and find that resource to go, do you know what? I'm coming back another day, and you're not going to, this is not going to be the end of me. I am going to come back. But yeah, and, you know, thinking about, okay, you know, this is happening. It is out of my control, a lot of it. And then sometimes surrendering to that, surrendering to it. So whilst I am a fighter, like at heart, there are times where, you know, there are certain battles that you will need to surrender and you need to save your energy to come back and fight perhaps a bigger battle another day. So it was learning as well. Do you know what? This one, I am going to say no, we aren't going to fight this one today because my energy will be better serving the members we've got left. Like, let's look and serve them as best we can and deal with this stuff over here when it's appropriate. So that was a big thing as well. And like you say, picking your battles.
Like, yeah, you know, it's so true that, and the kind of stuff that you can, you're not going to be able to control everything. And like, gosh, there's a lot we've not been able to control over the last 2 years, but it's what can I control in this moment? How can I draw on the skills, the strengths, the resources that I have as this amazing human being to help me just keep moving forward? I love what you've said there. So if there was somebody at the minute who's, I don't know, in a funk, struggling, maybe lacking in confidence or self-belief, they kind of know this stuff in here that, you know, deep down they know they're capable of it, but they're always holding back. What advice would you give them to help them stand strong?
So for me, the thing I would say is small steps, because we always try and look for the end outcome and go, oh, okay, well, I'm not there, so I'm not going to do anything. So it's breaking it down into small steps, and I mean tiny steps. Not, I think we don't realize how small it needs to be. So, you know, it could be, I'm going to say no to someone for the first time. You know, so breaking it really versus I'm going to remove this person from my life, or, you know, so there's so many, the line is so big to get to here. So I would say really breaking it down into small chunks and, you know, where do you want to be? Where are you now? And then looking at all the little steps that you need to take, because it is a process. Again, we live in a world that has made us feel like we should be here right now. There's so much stuff, you know, in 2 weeks, you can transform your life, in 10 days, transform your life. And you and I know that that actually, there's so much that needs to happen. So I'd say for me, the biggest thing is breaking everything and taking small little steps and then congratulating yourself, looking back at where you've come from, because again, we're great at telling ourselves how far we've not come, but not able to actually see how far we have come. So I would, you know, end of each day, what small step have you done? Something that's different from your usual, you know, perhaps patterns, or something that you've done that is taking you a little step closer to where or who you want to really be in this life. And that for me is, and allow yourself time. Time is, you know, it is important to really explore it. And, you know, you don't have to be here in a day. It's, you know, and enjoy the experience as well, because it's incredible. So yeah, for me, that would be the biggest thing is, if I could do I can do my time again, I would allow myself a lot more time to really kind of step through.
That is such brilliant advice. It's something I know we talk about, don't we, as well? I talk about a lot, but great, because a lot of people feel very overwhelmed every day with what's happening. Or like you say, we are in this, it's kind of the instant world with things, isn't it? We want everything now. And if we're not achieving these huge things, or, you know, and we're stuck, it's break things down to the ridiculously small. Every small step builds momentum, doesn't it? And, you know, you get there over a period of time. I love that. Yeah. What's next for you, Hannah? Where do you go next?
I'm scheming and plotting as always, me. I'm looking at going a little bit more into personal coaching, a little bit more around kind of mindset and lifestyle, life coaching, to bring in some of my experiences for the last 5 years, and to get that to go hand in hand with the self-defense and the fitness, to really kind of create that whole health and well, like, you know, I want to create, I say it all the time, a center for healing. That's what I really kind of think of as Stand Strong in the long term, is this healing space through what we do. So that's kind of where I'm putting some energy at the moment, and just for me as well, just enjoy trying to learn to enjoy the process more, and just enjoying life after the last 2 years. As you said, it's been incredibly difficult, so actually reigniting my connection to the world is a big thing at the moment after being shut off for so long. So I'm reconnecting my soul back into, you know, to everything, and realigning where I feel like, you know, where I feel I belong in this world again. So that's my
amazing
kind of, yeah,
amazing. Where can people come and hunt you down and find out more about you? Because I have to say, you know, you are an incredible person, and I know you're incredibly modest as well. And I like to sit as your like little cheerleader sometimes on your shoulder and just remind you what you've been achieving is incredible. So where could people come and get inspired by Hannah and by Stand Strong and connect with you?
So yes, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and soon to be better on YouTube. And I always get my handle wrong. I should have learned it by now. It's been there for a few years, and I'm always like, I think it's Stand Strong Academy. I'm pretty sure I'm Stand Strong Academy.
Stand Strong Academy. Yeah, so that's on Instagram. They can find you. Yes. Stand Strong Academy. Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being willing to share very openly as well. Your personal story and challenges. I'm sure there will be other people that do relate to that and have taken an awful lot from what you said today. You've been an amazing guest. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with Jo Britton. Tune in again for more practical advice on how to find your mojo and how to keep it.